Blog Talk Radio.
Azunke pare le bae, eh, azunke, azunke pare le bae, pare le bae, me la jan kase washo, azunke, pare le bae, vodou le bae,
azunke pare le bae,
eh, azunke,
azunke pare le bae.
Reiteration and my reality.
and it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, teaching, walk, and works along this divine life path and journey. And it is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. Excuse me. The place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors. Understanding that I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is, Ashe. Today is Tuesday, December 7th, 2010, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live and in archive, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai, in Mecca, in the legendary, historic, and beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm still just a little bit under the weather in my throat, so please bear with me. In New Orleans, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist who do obey a life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick and the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, and minerals. And please do be reminded to join me here live and in archive from New Orleans, Louisiana, on Blog Talk Radio, Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time, and on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m., the 1 hour of Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. And now, each and every day at high noon for the House of the Divine Prince featured virtual temple group practitioners and readers, commonly called the Power Lunch. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you do have a question, comment, or request, please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will address the caller as time and spirit does allow. And I would like to thank those who are already with us on the phone line, area code 484 and 434, Divine Peace and Blessings. Area code 484, I see that your hand is raised, so I will get to you sooner than later. I won't do like I usually do and forget until the last of the show, so I'll come to you again sooner than later. Just give me a moment here. And, of course, I want to thank humbly each of you who are present with me now live in the chat and who are listening via the various remote archived Blog Talk Radio players. I do believe you now have the ability to listen to the show live during the live broadcast through the Blog Talk Radio archive players. So I greatly appreciate each and every one of you for being on my website, being on Facebook, Multiply, MySpace, wherever you are now listening to the show. I greatly appreciate that. And, of course, Teresa Kalahat, we greatly appreciate you and your angelic soap products, which are featured in the Queen's Chamber. So we greatly appreciate your continued commitment and faithfulness to the community as well as to the show here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to take a brief intermission here. Again, I am still trying to deal with my throat and make sure that I'm going to be okay, so I'm not going to overdo it, but I'm going to take a break a little bit sooner than I usually do in the show, and then I'm going to come back with the meditation and the affirmation. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Wait, let me correct myself before I go to the song. I'm going to take the phone caller first, area code 484, after the song, and then I will go to the affirmation and meditation. So I will be forward momentarily. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe.
Thank you.
Divine peace and blessings. I appreciate your patience through that brief intermission. I want to now go to the phone line, area code 484. Who's calling?
Yes. This is Brother Batai, Path One calling in. Tuning into your show.
I greatly appreciate it. Did you have a question or comment, or you were just listening?
I had a question. One of the questions and comments that I wanted to ask also is in terms of meditation, and I think you're speaking about affirmation. How can that be applied in order to release stress from the mind to keep one from losing, like keep a person from losing their mind during a different time in their life, whether it's family or personal or economic. But something personal that stresses somebody out. How can meditation and affirmation, how can that be applied be able to, eliminate those things out of your mind?
Mm-hmm. That's actually a great question, a complex one, but a great question. And that sort of touches on what I'm going to speak about today. So if, I'm going to put you back on hold, and if you have another question, raise your hand again, and I'll come back to you. I'm going to answer your question now, okay?
Okay.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed, in this time and dispensation, we are all dealing with many challenges. And it's very prophetic that the brother would call in with the question, because the element that I want to talk about today is one of the ones that are not given quite as much attention as earth and water and fire and air, and that is storm. Storm represents change and divine transformation, not only in our physical world, but in our spiritual and emotional world. So our development, our transcending, our transforming from one thing to another requires challenge. And that, even with all the religion and books and philosophies, is the very basic tools for dealing with the challenge are often neglected. And I'm going to make an attempt to address that in the brother's question today in the remaining part of the show. I will come back to you, brother, momentarily. The element of storm is the most transformational of all the elemental forces. This force is the result of the synergistic combination of the energies of earth, water, fire, air, and life. When these elements combine, they create an energy that is more powerful than the sum of its parts, a force which embodies the movement of creation and destruction in one. Storm is the Tai Chi, the yin-yang combined. Its frequencies represent both the point of perfect balance and the extremes of polarity. The energy of storm clears the air and drenches and renews the earth. Its lightning fire charges the atmosphere with energy and refreshes the mind. Storm carries the energy of rebirth, recreation, transformation. Rebirth is not always an easy process, however, and storm is not always an easy ally, but both are necessary parts of the cycles of life and nature. When you are in a place of no movement in your life, a standstill, it is as if you're experiencing a period of death. The storm creates rebirth, new direction, through which you can explore your life and all its possibilities and move forward. The element of storm is active on all levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and its energy creates profound and drastic change throughout one's experiences. Storm can cause the experience of destruction, as it tears down those aspects of one's life that are no longer stable, useful, or strong. This destructive force is cleansing as it moves through your life, uprooting those creations that no longer serve your needs, enabling new experiences and creations to take root. Storm comes most often when there is a stalemate in one's life, when the air is stagnant and stifling, and there is no longer movement towards one's dreams. When this lack of movement creates a standstill that no single elemental force can move, the elemental allies combine to create the renewing element of storm. This force will sweep down upon you, changing your energy and your life. So we must begin to embrace the challenge. And be very careful about the words we use. I know in many of the world religions, including Christianity, we often talk about trial and tribulation and apply such a heavy negative connotation to that. But we must begin to look at the storm, at the challenge, as something that is a gift of reshaping, re-empowering, re-changing what otherwise would be stagnant and at a standstill. And I'm going to speak to specifically, as the brother asked in the question, meditating affirmations to recreate and reshape your life, your environment, your emotions, your thought processes in any given moment. And see, this is the key. We typically do all right with our ritual processes when things are going well, when things are going good. It's when we're during the storm, when we're under pressure, when we're most tested and our most authentic truth comes to the surface. So in your meditation, and I'm going to come back to you in just a moment, brother, so I can more personalize your response. But I'm right now I'm speaking to everybody. As you deal with whatever the challenge is, you confront it, you allow yourself to embrace it, to take on the full breadth of the experience. Otherwise, you may very well be missing parts to the equation that you may need. And that's the pitfall of denial, of not being spiritually confrontational rather than pushing things to a side and allowing them to fester and then become a manifestation of something we don't need or it's painful or it's uncomfortable. So in your meditation, you first want to clear your mind, particularly if you're new at meditation and affirmation. Don't pressure yourself to focus in on anything at first. It's almost an immediate shutdown to the connection of whatever the proposed blockage is. And in Buddhism, we see blockage as ego, an extension of ego. Our discomforts, the things that bring us displeasure, are ego unless we're utilizing them to move forward. So you first want to get clear. And this is the role of crystal in meditation, helping to not only raise the vibration, raise the energy level, make us more receptive to spirit, but also to clarity. Now, understand, every crystal is not completely clear. And quite often, if it's totally clear with no inclusions in it, then it's probably man-made produced. But natural quartz does come in a perfect clarity, but it will also have the imprint of life, of growth, of experience. So it may have clouds, it may have veils, it may have wisps. And these are symbols of states of consciousness. When we're in that clarity, clouds drift through, often holding pregnant with the energy of the storm. And this is why some of us, we sort of get stuck with the feeling, with the energy of whatever the block is, whatever the challenge is, whatever the problem is. And this doesn't allow us to move beyond it to the other side of it, to the clarity. So we get clear, and then we decide what we want, what we need, but then ultimately surrender to spirit. Because if you, I can only assume, you know, and I could be wrong, I can only assume that those who are listening to me, who are in the chat, the caller, you have some sense of a higher power, whomever, whatever that is, Allah, God, the Orisha, the deity. So you must begin to truly believe that your needs are being met and being taken care of if we would just get out of the way. And that's why I repeat that over and over in the affirmation, because it's very easy to forget, particularly in our culture, in our society. It's designed for you to forget. Your focus should be on the system in their eyes, not on developing something that ultimately frees you from the system. So often the challenges, the distractions come to do just that, distract you from a true picture. Yesterday, if you were here with me, brethren, I talked about a book that I found online, the Handbook of Tibetan Buddhist Symbols. And in this book, The Crystal and the Way, it talks about three powerful symbols, which we also use in hoodoo. The first is the mirror, which reflects light unconditionally. The crystal, which refracts light unconditionally. Refract as in prismatic, separating the different frequencies and colors within light. And the third is a crystal ball, which appears to hold the image within themselves. And laced in that symbolism is an even deeper message and meaning. The mirror, which is a symbol also of man-made, of our so-called physical reality, our everyday waking, walking reality. And it's really a mirror back to us of where we want to be, but also our belief systems, what we truly believe and understand. A crystal reflects light. And I think that is authentic to its true purpose as a tool, as a mechanism for not only elevating our frequencies, helping us to transform to a higher level of awareness and understanding, but also utilization. And when you ask me about utilizing meditation and affirmation to gain a specific point, that within itself is a level of growth in who you are spiritually. Because it takes you away from being the victim of something to being more in control of recreating, creating your destiny. And the crystal ball, which holds the image unconditionally, I think is representative of meditation and our ability to focus, still our mind, because there are many voices, many energies, many thoughts going on in the process. So it's representative of our stilling the mind and being open without judgment to the view. And see, when we're under stress, under attack, that's very hard to do, even in meditation, because we must move. It's almost like moving through rooms in a house. We break through one veil, and often there's mundane stuff in that veil that comes through in your meditation, your bills, what you forgot, you know, what you just ate, you know. Then you enter another veil, another room, which takes you higher, and you begin to go deeper, and feelings begin to surface. Sometimes the past begins to surface, thoughts. But these are all tools of getting you to move beyond the block, but also identify the real source of the dis-ease or the discomfort. And that's why Buddhists say that dis-ease and discomfort are extensions of ego. Because when we are in our God body, our God consciousness, then we should be above the relative mutable changes of our everyday reality. So, and brother, your mic is open. So I hope I'm responding to your question. And if I can be more specific, let me know.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, your mic is open.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, now you're breaking up. Are you on a cell phone? Okay, I can't hear you at all now.
Oh, yeah. I said that you answered a wonderful question in terms of the affirmation and the meditation, because I was always wondering how could I use a meditation in terms of relaxing the mind and the body. And another thing I wanted to ask, in terms of television, which is like a system of a media mind control, do you feel that people will get back to nature to a point where they will get rid of the television and start practicing natural meditation? You know, I just started getting into meditation, and it's really like I turned the television off in my house for a couple of days and did different original practices, and I seen that I had more peace.
Well, you just said the answer, because I'm going to say yes and no.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. We have to go back. We have to become more natural. We have to consciously make room for spirit. But at the same time, we are still operating in a world of news and event and things that we need to know. But I think it's a matter of maturity. If you have children, I would suggest pulling the TV out. If they're older, you know, 20, 30, and they've had some time with you in this practice, then their relationship with TV is very different. And I find for me, it was very seasonal. I went through a period, let me be specific, between 1990 and 95, when I had no TV. In fact, I put my TV in the pawn shop, and every now and then I would go and get it, and I would keep it out for maybe a week or two, and then I would take it back. And during all that other time, I was studying. I mean, I was really digesting books, going to the library, studying not only spirituality and religion, but because of the spirituality and religion, I then wanted to understand math. I then wanted to understand chemistry. I then wanted to understand geometry. So I went on what the Christians call a fast, and that included not really dealing with TV. Then I was introduced to Coast to Coast AM, and it comes on different stations depending on what city you're in. But it's called Coast to Coast AM. You can Google that, with George Norrie. He's the present host of the show, and it comes on every night. Depending on what city you're in, it may be on for 4 hours, it may be on for 8 hours. And I found that during this period of studying, praying, meditating, reading, my body was, quote, unquote, off balance. And that's a misnomer, because it appeared to be off balance, but what was happening was I was going through a change. So that 9-to-5 sleep pattern was being destroyed. How I was eating was being destroyed, and I was finding that I was eating at odd times. And society would say, well, you need to have a certain order, and you do. But as you're making that transition from that old order to the new order, there's that period of storm. There's that period of chaos. There's that period where you're going back and forth. Let me give another example. You may be moving from a meat eater, a junk food eater, to a flexitarian who may be first cutting back on red meat, then cutting back on chicken, then cutting back on other things, to a vegetarian, then to a vegan. And I think we, again, in this fast food culture, want things to be instantaneous, want to one book, one profit, you know, and get all your answers and everything's going to be fine. And it really doesn't work that way. So we have to have the meditation. The meditation is our ability to, if I can use metaphor, to hear, to see, to feel, to sense. It requires us getting humble. And see, again, English and the Western culture has given a real negative connotation to humble and submissive. And what I mean by being humble is knowing that you're more than just your body. And meditation teaches you that. Because when you first start meditating, you itch everywhere. You want to move around. You can't just get still. But as you mature in it and in your spiritual path, and diet plays a key role. If you're finding that you can't be peaceful longer than 5 minutes, you might got to look at what you're eating still and to make adjustments. Now, the affirmation is almost, if I may use another word that has been given a negative connotation, program. Mm. But we are a living crystal. Our brain is a liquid crystal of a sort, almost a gel-like crystalline substance. So we're constantly programming, reprogramming, taking in information, overlaying information, pulling up stuff, files from the past, trying to reach into files into the future. So affirmations help to program and reprogram, even when you think you're on point. And there are several kinds of affirmations. There's your simple affirmation, and then there's a more complex, more specific, more manifestation and result-oriented affirmation. And I'm going to give you a quick example. I am healthy. I am perfectly healthy. I am God created healthy. I'm whole. I am in balance. I am complete. That is a affirmation, obviously, that's specific to health that you can use constantly. And the more you use it, you begin to find that your affirmations repeat themselves even when you're not repeating them. And they'll be going over and over in your head. And ultimately, they work their way into your subconscious, so it becomes your first, almost natural response. And you substitute healthy for I am happy, I am prosperous, you can specifically specialize your affirmation. Or you can be and I don't like the word generic or general, but I think you know what I mean. Or I am.
That's powerful. And there's something else also I wanted to ask. In terms of affirmation, in the Nuwapian culture, sometimes they use other terms of information, affirmation, intellect, and outlet. Now, with affirmation, what is the difference between affirmation, information, and intellect?
Okay, I think it's explicit, in the word itself, out. To me, that's a projection. That's something that we crystallize and project outside of ourselves. And that, again, exists in many parallel dimensions, because there's that projection that we think and we see ourselves projecting. But there's also that people really see and receive from us. That is often, when we're not true to our authenticity, it's often outside our realm of awareness. There are certain things about you that your mama knows that you might not even realize that you do. It might be a mannerism. It might be, baby, your left eye twitched when you lie, and that may be something you may not be aware of. So I think that all comes under affirmation. So there's certain affirmations that we use that reinforce our outward projection. And a name is a form of that, the divine prince. There's a certain law, there's a certain vibration that I have to live up to even carry that name. That's an affirmation. For me to have that as a name and then live like a devil would be in complete contradiction to the affirmation and the manifestation and the vibration. So we have to be very clear, down to the word, down to the letter of what we are saying, what we are projecting, and what we're meaning. I think the information is more of, again, inner, that which we internalize. We have a whole nother language, a whole nother dialogue that goes on within. And it's often where our secrets are, our insecurities are, that part of us that we don't want other people to see. A quick example, because we are running out of time, of that is many people who only know me through my ministry think I'm the calmest person in the world. And I've been drawn to that. But you ask my mama or my sisters or people who really know me, they will tell you, well, that's not the real Ty. That's not the Ty we know, not the old Ty. I'm very spontaneous. The old me was very reactionary. So you have to have not only affirmations that bring about the manifestation that you want, but also those that crystallize and reprogram and reaffirm who you truly are, who you truly want to be, who you're truly becoming, which I believe all exist within the moment. And, of course, I feel rushed. We have about 8 minutes left in the show, and I'm trying to, as much as I can, with you on that. What was the third one?
I think the third one was, I think you went into information, I think you went intellect, and what they call, you have a word called intelligence.
Okay, you're breaking up again.
Yes, I said you have a word called intelligent, and you're thinking about affirmation. And what I wanted to ask is, let's say if you've never been in a university, because I've heard a lot of your archived information, you are a very high spiritual brother. You really build strong information, and like it seems like if you go to colleges in terms of intellect and intelligence, is it false intelligence that we have in institutions today? Basically, I'm asking, do our intelligence come from our inner spiritual selves? Do we actually need books or universities, or do we actually have to pull from within in order to be able to get to that supreme frequency of inspiration and knowledge and obedience within self?
Remember, we live in a intra multidimensional reality.
Mm-hmm.
There are different levels of reality, and different realms of our existence. And to make that easier in a short period of time to understand, we have our home personality, the side that your family knows, your mama knows, your friends knows, which is not often exact to our workplace personality or to our church personality or to our grocery store personality, how you interact with total strangers in a comfortable environment as opposed to total strangers in a threatening environment. And the point I'm trying to make is there are levels of information. And I think intellect itself is very specific to information. It's not necessarily a denotation of what you're going to do with the information, where you're going after you leave that university, if you're ever going to even use any of that information in your career life or in your personal life or even in your spiritual life. But I know in my personal experience, I found that school didn't make sense to me in junior high, high school, elementary, and even when I first went to college, I think I went because it was what you're supposed to do. It was to prepare you for a quote-unquote job or career, which in many minds is the same thing. And it was until I started to transform spiritually that I began to look at the education differently and want to use that information in a different way. And I actually went back to school. I've actually gone back several times over, but with a very different reasoning. And I wanted to now take science and biology and math, but for a very different reason. So I think when we look at our institutions and intellect, it's very generic. It exists in a very two-dimensional world. But if you're, let's say, third eye, your third eye is open and you're operating in a third dimensional world or fourth dimensional world, you might watch a movie, a fictional movie, and get a completely profound divine spiritual message from it because you're living and operating on a higher vibrational level. So we need to have basics. We need to be able to count and add and subtract and to multiply. But that's very different from algebra. That's very different from calculus. That's very different from sacred math, numerology. And they have very different specialized usages. But if you understand, and I think you do, they're all interrelated. They're all interconnected. So, again, I think that our institutions, particularly educational institutions, are set up for a very specific reason. That's not always to our best interest. It is in our interest if we, you know, continue to work within the system. You know, you want to be degreed, you want to get a job, you want to do certain things. But I also think it's crucial that our children get that, but also be exposed to the sacred math, the sacred religious spiritual understanding. It's almost as if we're the deities in many indigenous cultures with several eyes. You're not only looking on the earth level, but you're also looking in the spiritual level. You're looking in different realms of reality. And that's what the whole symbolism of eye and third eye and multiple eye is about. We don't live in just a black and white world. And that's the human part of us that tries to oversimplify. And I think that that's a downfall with our brothers. And I'm talking about our black brothers, the revolutionary brothers, the spiritual ones that are now taking on all these different exotic names and understanding. I'm with you. But you've got to realize that trying to make it black and white, A and B, it's not going to get you there. I used the analogy the other day that we're not only playing catch-up, trying to remember history, trying to remember the past, trying to make sense out of archaeology. We also have to live today. You got to eat today. You got to sleep today. You get closer today. But you're also preparing for the future today. You know, whether it's your savings account, your retirement, your Social Security every day when you work and that tax money comes out. So that's a metaphor I'm trying to use for the interdimensionalness of our reality. And we try to oversimplify things because it's easier. But as you grow, you realize it becomes easier to understand the simplification. But as you grow, you also can see the complexities that often are just too laborsome. And that's why many don't walk a spiritual path, because they see this as being a lot of work. And it is a lot of work, but so is being human, so is being American, so is raising your family and your kids. We have to prioritize what is important for us, and that changes from one minute to the next, from one day to the next. You know, the cards change, the playing field changes, and we have to be flexible. So as we move into God body, God consciousness, we have to really understand what that is. That's a wealth of information, all moving around at once. And that's why we're not all there simultaneously, you know, right here and right now. It's truly a journey. And the earth law, of the duality and the polarity of this existence, limits our ability to see things fully in that alpha and omega. So I hope I answered the question. You know, intellect to me is necessary, but it's not specific. And it, excuse me. And it's what you do with it ultimately that counts. Again, in this few minutes, I have to speak to our community. You know, we've almost demonized intellect. We've almost demonized it to some degree. And again, we live in a polarity. We live in a duality. So, yes, rightfully so, we demonized it. But at the same time, we can't be out with the bathwater. We have to be able to not only learn the system and what we're confronted with and faced with each and every day while we re-educate ourselves and prepare ourselves and move forward. We're doing several jobs at once, and we need all parts. We need the spiritual, but we also need the political. We also need the grassroots, but they are not separate from each other. And there's a force that wants to separate them so that we never bring it all together.
And, you know, it's powerful that you say that, because I came from a political background. You know, I consider myself a political activist. I consider myself a revolutionary, but I'm not to the point where I'm ignorant. I personally believe in justice and freedom for black people in general, and, of course, peace for mankind. You know, and that's another thing I wanted to make statement, that I'm not just ignorant political radical. You know, I have been extreme. I have, you know, I've offended many people. You know what I'm saying? I'm very controversial, but it's almost just the same as Malcolm X or Martin Luther King. You don't know the person until you have spoken to them, meaning that you can hear a person use profanity and you can say, oh, my goodness, that's so terrible. But at the same time, I think, and this is in general, people of all races, all nationalities, I think a lot of times we really don't get a chance to talk to the person, to really just talk to them personally, one-on-one, to ask them why it is. And I understand where you're coming from when you were saying in terms of black and white. I definitely feel that it's a division in this country. It's profitable, you know, to make money off of that. And I feel that, you know, you have different sides of all different nationalities that's at clash with each other right now. I deal with it a lot. But I feel that with the divine intelligence and knowledge that we can put things together the way it's supposed to be. But I feel that first what has to be addressed is our differences. I feel that at a certain point we have to confess all of our differences, meaning the different nations that you have, we must strive at a certain point in order to be able to communicate with one another. And it's just misinformation, meaning that there might be brothers in a revolutionary background, and they may see that you do metaphysical or spiritual. So they may look at that and say, well, wait a minute, how does that apply to me? And actually, one of the first roles I took was your field, the metaphysical and the spiritual. So I really dig what you're doing. Like, you know, you take me back to my roots, and like
and
a lot of times,
I battle
with inner demons. I battle with inner demons within myself. That's why I even tell people sometimes I have the God and the devil in me. And what I mean by that is that not the devil in the sense of a negative sense. See, it's basically what we call agreeable or disagreeable spirit. In China, they call it the yin-yang, which is known as agreeable, disagreeable, meaning that in human beings, we actually battle with what's right and what's wrong within our own self. The battle, a lot of times, is within thyself. So
yes,
there's a lot of different
Let me interrupt you quickly. Interrupt you quickly, because we only got about 10 seconds left in the show. But we can stay
on
the phone line, I believe. But I want everybody to join me here again tomorrow at high noon for the power lunch. But what you're saying is really profound. As you said, some of the revolutionary brothers, all they see is
right.
But they don't realize that I began on the revolutionary side.
That's right.
That's how I ended up where I am. I was there when the Rodney King went down. I've been on the front lines many of our battles in the city. But to go back to your original question, how do you deal with the stress?
Right. That's
and
what comes in with it.
Yeah.
Right. We deal with a lot of stress.
Political, but we also have to heal ourselves and
be holistic
about it at the same time.
That's right, brother. That's right. Yeah, that's very powerful, because I feel that's what we lack a lot of times, and that a lot of us, I mean, I've seen a lot of revolutionary brothers, they put down those guns, they put down all that militancy, and they went into prayer. You know, you're even in many military centers and different warfare centers, they had a sense of meditation and prayer. So, I mean, me personally, I look at the divine balance of both, meaning that you cannot have just negative. And I don't even look at it as negative. I look at the frequency, meaning that to me it makes it the divine whole. So when you are representing the energy that you have, that is so powerful, because everybody else is not operating like that sometimes. And actually you are balancing out the planet.
So if you have revolutionary brothers that may have crazy militancy and may seem ignorant, if you look into it closely, you'll see that they're just balancing out the planet in so many ways. And then when you go to the other part of the planet, you have the holistic side. So when you go to different dimensions on this planet, you'll see that we have different dimensions and different frequencies. But all around the whole planet, from different people, it's actually divine order through our frequency. So meaning what we might think is, oh, man, that's negative and this, that. You can't go to one side of town and have all peace without going to another side of town with all fighting and all that stuff.
That's
so
right.
When you see both other parts of the town and you look on the divine spiritual order, those are the divine forces of what we call agreeable, disagreeable, taking you back to China. They call it the yin-yang. And in Kemet, we call it agreeable, disagreeable. And in modern religion, we call it God and the devil, which are just title names of inner self, inner demons.
That's right.
Which we all are. We are earth and heaven combined. We are both polarities and duality, particularly under the laws of earth. Now, we want to get more cosmic laws change once we leave the planet and we enter space and begin to become a part of the whole universal cosmic reality. But here on this earth right now, we have certain earth plane laws that we live under, but also spirit plane laws. And I think this is almost like a testing ground of sorts for ultimate development. Something else, too, I want to hit back on that you talked about, warriors, and you can't just be angry. I think our Asiatic brothers have really given us examples of that. When you look at all the old, you know, Kung Fu movies, you know, there's that fierce warriorism, but also a spiritual connection on a spiritual level they have that empowers the warrior feel, and we need hope. I greatly appreciate your call, brother, and I'm going to move forward. We've actually kind of gone beyond our time, and I want to thank all of you who are still with me right now on the phone lines for being present, and remind you to join me here again tomorrow at high noon for the Power Lunch here on Block Talk Radio. Area code 678, area code 434, and area code 484. I greatly appreciate you and hope that you will be with me here tomorrow. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe.
Now I know all that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving consciously through. So someday I'll find somewhere I can be free, to live with love.
Love me. Papa lo como en la agoe. Papa lo como en la huyagoe. Papa lo como en la. Brenati bade bole si breno bata la wama. Fini boga bono la bole va aide nous.
Papa lo como en la agoe.
Thank you.
individual, individual to the masses. Climb the class, try to pass this dope vibe. The distance goes. My complex and yet simple like sex. Got these on the set called the car wrecks. Booty bouncing, sexy words they pronounce. Flossing, ego tossing. Check your manhood and play your card, it's all good. If you bogus, he man would notice. I got a sixth sense intensified by him. Dimensional with these. Sensual, they taste some he man. They won't mention you. Haters try to trip it up. Kiss it up, lick it up. Try to make me bust it up to the masses. Come to class, try to pass this. Throw five deep within the dance, these crows. Haters try to trip it up. Kiss it up, lick it up. Try to make me bust it up to the masses. Come to class, try to pass this. Throw five deep within the dance, these crows. Check your manhood and play your card, it's all good. If you bogus, he man.